listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. I'd love to help people travel better, so don't forget to send us your questions about travel. We'd love to read them on the air and give you a bit of help with your travels. You can also find us on social media. Search the Miles to Go podcast on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And you can always email the show at milestogopodcast@gmail.com. Lastly, you can help us by subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening, such as Apple Podcast or Google Podcast, and leave us a rating and a comment. We read all of your comments, and by subscribing and rating the podcast, you're helping us reach out to more listeners. We've got an all-female guest list this week. Jen from Deals We Like is back with us for a longer segment than her normal It's a Big Deal. We're breaking down current hotel promos from four of the major hotel chains. And in keeping with the theme of all female guests and hotels, Tiffany is back from 1 mile at a time. Tiffany and I dive into the world of hotel credit cards. There are a lot of options. We haven't decided if we're going to break down each individual card in a future segment or work on a different series of recordings, but Tiffany does seem to be enjoying her time on the podcast. As long as I don't scare her away, you should plan to hear more of her on Miles to Go, which I'm pretty ecstatic about. With all that housekeeping taken care of, let's get into the show. The Miles to Go podcast is brought to you in part by No Jet Lag. Don't let jet lag get you down. Flight crews, sports teams, and business executives around the world sing the praises of No Jet Lag. No Jet Lag is the leader in jet lag management for the last 25 years. Don't let jet lag spoil your next trip. Visit nojetlag.com to get yours today. Welcome back to the Miles to Go podcast. I've got Jen with me from Deals We Like, and instead of an It's a Big Deal segment, we're going to go a little bit longer today because we're going to try to cover four of the major hotel promos that are out. Hey, Jen, thanks for being back on the podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we got a lot of ground to cover. I won't say it's terribly exciting ground to cover, but if folks are trying to decide which hotel chain to spend their nights with in the fall of 2018, they've got some choices. First up, I say let's start with the Marriott promo, which was certainly not a very compelling one for me.
No, definitely not. I kind of thought they'd go out with like a big bang after the programs merged in August, and definitely beyond disappointing. So I don't know. I think that would have been a nice way for them to like try to show what they have and reel in more members, because some people are definitely disappointed about the merger and that could have maybe kept folks staying along. But oh well, they didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially if they'd known they were going to have the technical challenges that they're having, which, you know, Tiff from My Own Time and I talked about again last week. I just, you know, I mean, yeah, I think if they'd known it was going to be this rough, they probably would have thought about making it more rewarding. But as it stands, they're offering two things. One is 2,000 bonus points on all stays of two or more nights, so nothing for single night stays. And then you get 1,000 points for every brand you stay at, starting with the second brand. So if your first stay was with a Sheraton and your second stay was with a Spring Hill Suites, then you'd get a 1,000-point bonus on that Spring Hill Suites stay.
Right. And, you know, when you go back and look at old mega bonus promotions, this definitely is less than what you would typically have earned, unfortunately. And what's kind of disappointing to me is that two-night stay, and I know that happened a lot in old Starwood promotions, but that wasn't something that was typical for Marriott. Or with Starwood, it was, you know, two nights, and but if you stayed a third night, or it was, you know, certain number of points per night. And if you really look at that from a, if you were a Starwood promotion, that's only 666 points, which is nothing really compared to those old Starwood legacy promotions. So this is definitely a disappointing promotions. I do like that added 1,000 point per brand though. That can get you, you know, 29,000 extra points if you were to stay at all 29 types of properties they have, which is probably not going to happen for the average person, but it could be a fun challenge.
Yeah, you know, if it scaled, I'd be happier with it. I you know, like you, like I remember the 2-night minimum on some of the Starwood promos, but it was okay because the points were more rewarding. With the Marriott promos, there were the mega bonus, not all the time, but frequently had a free night option somewhere in there. And you know, I used an example in my blog post where, you know, if you spent 20 different nights at 20, sorry, if you had 20 different stays at 20 different brands, each 2 nights or more, that you still, that would just get you enough points for one night at the Dolphin or Swan down in Florida, which are popular or were popular Disney hotel choices for those of us using miles and points down there. So, and staying at 20 different brands to me would be insane, even by my standards. So I do view this as pretty weak from a promo standpoint. I'd be more excited to try and go for, you know, 10 or 20 different brands if there was some sort of a multiplier for getting to 5 or 10 or 15 brands. But short of that, this one doesn't really excite me terribly much. Where do we want to go next? You want to go Hyatt or you want to go Hilton?
Let's go Hilton. All right. This one's a pretty straightforward promotion. Kind of on par with what they always have, with a nice twist of added points, I guess. So Hilton's offering this fall 2x points in all your hotel stays, which is, I think, in the exact same promotion they've offered this past year.
Yeah.
And then a three time point offer at luxury hotels. So that's unique. That is not something that I've seen in the past. Sometimes they've offered 3x points if it includes a weekend stay or just on those nights that are weekend nights. But the luxury component is nice, especially, you know, sometimes those are the properties that cost an arm and a leg. So earning 3x points can be beneficial there.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. You know, this is something that Hyatt's toyed around with from time to time where they've bonused on in specific brand segments. Sometimes it was limited service, sometimes it was full service. But I like that general philosophy. I also like the philosophy Hilton's employing here, which says, you know, hey, if you're staying at one of our properties that costs more points, you know, we're going to give you more points. And, you know, obviously not that you're redeeming points, but just at those properties, the top level, if you're a business traveler who doesn't just stay at Hampton Inns, but stays at the more expensive properties, they're giving you a better multiplier, which I can definitely wrap my arms around. It's sort of, you know, without the brand, without the luxury tie-in, if you will, sort of lines up with where Hyatt is in that their promotions, you know, not quite as rewarding if you're just staying a few nights, but it gets pretty rewarding if you can really rack up the nights like a business traveler.
Right. But what I like about Hilton is if you just have one random stay, if you're a leisure traveler, one random stay, you're going to earn some sort of bonus points. If it's a one-night stay, you'll earn the bonus points. There's no caveats actually to it. Every single stay, regardless of the number of nights, will earn you some extra type of points.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right. That's one of the things that used to annoy me about the Marriott Starwood were all the properties that were excluded from promos. And I actually didn't dig too deeply in there. But, you know, given that Marriott requires a minimum of a 2-night stay, it is good to see that for a 1-night stay with Hilton, as long as you register for the promo, you're at least going to earn double points, if not triple.
Yeah, and with registering, Hilton is one of the unique ones that you actually have to register prior to checking out of your stay. So with Marriott and Hyatt, you just have to register by their registration date and all stays retroactively will be credited. Hilton, you actually have to stay register prior to.
Yeah.
Learn that one the hard way.
Yeah, don't learn from our mistakes, folks. Register for everything now, even if you don't think you're going to have a stay. Just register for them now and get it out of the way. Learn the easy way, not the hard way.
Yeah. But then Hyatt is actually probably the best one for your business traveler or, you know, some leisure travelers who travel a lot in the fall where you can rack up a ton of points, but there are different requirements to get to those points. You can earn up to 60,000 points, although it will require 40 nights at a Hyatt hotel. Business travelers who travel every week, easy. They can do that no problem. But you have to stay at least 5 nights to earn anything.
Yeah, I think there's two things about this that make this slightly less rewarding than some of the promos that they've had in the past. And this is coming from a guy who is a business traveler and frequently did max out these promos. First, 40 nights in a promo period is a bit higher than some of the promos that we've seen. I remember them sometimes being as low as 25 or 30 nights.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 40s, you know, 40s achievable, don't get me wrong, like you say, for the hardcore business traveler. But the other thing too here is that this promo ends a bit sooner than some of the other ones do. It only runs through November 30th. So you had 3 months when you got started, but realistically, if you're, you know, a human, you know, being on the road for 40 nights over the course of 90 is probably about the max that I'd expect for a typical business traveler, and that, especially if they have a family, and that you had the back to school stuff, and, you know, then in November you'll have Thanksgiving and you got Halloween. And so,
right,
you know, even if you traveled 4 days a week, that's still 10 trips across 12 weeks.
True.
You know, it's a lot. And so while I think this is very rewarding for road warriors, I don't think you'll see a ton of folks max us out at 40 nights.
No. And one thing I hate too is, you know, the first threshold is 5 nights, then it's 10 nights, and then it's 10 night increments after that. So if you're going to say 15 nights, you're getting the same number of bonus points as if you'd say 10 nights. So there's not as much incentive to, you know, stay a few extra nights. You really have to work hard, I guess. I mean, I remember when I was traveled every week for business, I was that road warrior, and, you know, I was a Marriott person, and usually their mega bonus promotions were 25 nights. And I felt like that was very obtainable. I didn't go much over and I didn't go under. So 40 nights is tough, as you were saying.
Yeah, I agree. I think the right strategy here with Hyatt is to make sure if you're going to go over 10 nights that you can definitely get to that next tier. You can get to 20 or 30 or 40. If you're going to just get to 10 and then you've got other choices, and, you know, maybe you're pushing the other stays off to somebody like Hilton and potentially IHG, because I haven't done a lot of research here. It's not a program I tend to focus a lot on, but what do you think about the IHG double points promo?
So this is interesting because it's like their accelerate promotion where all accounts typically have some sort of targeted promotion, but this time around, every single account has this double points promotion, then some targeted offer on top of it. Mm-hmm. My targeted offer was pretty bad. I think it was like 15,000 extra bonus points. And when I posted on my blog saying it was a pretty weak promotion, some folks were saying, well, we got an offer of giving us 50,000, 75,000 extra points. So this promotion really is going to depend on your specific account, but just the double points, it's similar to Hilton in a sense that it's an easy promotion. You'll get your points. No having to worry about count the number of nights that you stay to reach some certain threshold. And then you can always potentially earn more with that targeted offer in your account, those tasks that allow you to earn more.
Yeah, this does seem a bit watered down, though, from some of the previous accelerates. You know, I think there are less total offers. You know, I can remember times where Accelerate might have, you know, 5 or 6 different offers. And B, these ones do seem a little bit weaker. You know, not to put you on the spot, but if you had to pick one of the four, which one do you think you'd go with?
Loyalty aside, and if I was just, I don't know, I guess it really depends on your situation. I mean, I'm now more of the leisure traveler. So that leisure traveler, I think it would be Hilton potentially, just because of the straightforward, easy promotion. If I knew I was going to stay 20, 30, 40 nights, I'd go for Hyatt definitely, but that's not where I am right now in my life. So, you know, staying a few nights, I know I have 4 paid nights, for example, this fall at a Hyatt hotel. And that's going to do me nothing because I need that 5 nights.
Right.
And it's just not going to be worthwhile to mattress one extra night for 2,500 points.
No, I agree. And I think you nailed it. I think it's, you know, if you're a leisure traveler, a very infrequent traveler, Hilton's probably where you want to be thinking about if you have no loyalty allegiance. And Hyatt is for the heavy hitters. Marriott and IHG may be situational, you know, to your travel patterns.
Yeah. I mean, all of them are great. Register.
Absolutely register.
You know,
yeah.
If you never know, you might be staying there. And these are not promotions, I guess, that would persuade me to stay at one property over another as I've had in the past. So just always register. You never know when you might find yourself at one of these properties and you don't want to be left not getting the bonus points because, you know, the registration time has passed.
Yep. No, I agree. And I think, you know, by and large, until the economy takes another downturn, we're probably not going to see any super lucrative hotel promos like we used to see. And we might not even see them then, but we'll definitely have to wait and see for another economic downturn before we see great hotel promos. Not that I'm wishing for that by any stretch of the means.
Right.
Jen, thanks a ton for being on with me again. We'll have you back on for another deal segment here soon, but when you're not hopping on the podcast with me and also the Now Boarding segment that we've got out for Jen as well on my other podcast, tell folks where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com. You can also find me at Twitter, Facebook, anything at Deals We Like will get you to me. Feel free to send me a note. I'm happy to answer questions, and thanks for listening.
All right, guys, thanks. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast.
Hey, while we take a quick break from Miles to Go, I wanted to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts. If you're enjoying my podcast, I think you'll also like Dots, Lines, and Destinations. Steven, Seth, and Foz are the hosts of the first travel podcast I ever listened to. Seth has already been a guest on Miles to Go a few times, and I'm hoping to have Steven and Foz on here at some point as well. These guys know the travel industry. You'll find them talking about cool new airplanes, crazy trips they're taking, Stroop waffles, and the best way to get from here to there. Though, given the name of their podcast, they don't specialize in the shortest way to get you there. At any rate, you can find Dots Lines at moredotsmorelines.com or on Apple Podcasts. Now, back to the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Miles to Go podcast, and I've got Tiffany Funk back with me from 1 Mile at a Time. Hey, Tiff, thanks again for joining me.
Absolutely.
So when last we visited with Tiffany, we were talking about the status of the Marriott-Starwood integration. Have we improved any there?
No, in fact, it's good at least for the podcast, because I know that we were concerned that, oh my gosh, we're going to record, and then before it airs, everything will magically be better. But I guess the only bright spot is that that seems to not be the case. So bad news for the program, good news for the podcast. Things seem to, in fact, be getting worse in many situations. So
audio continues to be accurate. We have problems with Marriott and Starwood. We're going to try not to talk about that for the whole segment today, though, because gosh knows that we could. But, you know, Tiffany and I were sort of going back and forth on ideas for the podcast, and not that we want to like show you guys how the sausage is made per se, but we talked about a bunch of different ways to tackle hotel credit cards. And she and I both kept coming back to her original idea, which was, hey, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. And so we decided that we would sort of go through that for, you know, a few minutes with you guys just to talk through, you know, general strategies. And so we've sort of divided this up into three categories that Tiffany came up with. You've got credit cards that earn you free nights, and or are best at earning you free nights, credit cards that are best at earning you hotel points, and then credit cards are best for earning elite status, if that's your goal. And so as we think about those three categories independently, I'd say, you know, Tiff, I guess first and foremost, which one's your main reason for carrying a card right now? Are you mainly carrying hotel cards for status, or are you looking more for free nights and points?
You know, that's interesting because I think it's shifting. You know, I've historically, and probably like you, I've spent a lot on my SPG cards.
Yep.
You know, because the points that you were accruing just for everyday spend, it was a really good option. And I was leveraging those. You know, I always generally prefer to get points rather than free nights. And that's something that we can talk about a bit. But things are sort of shifting for me a little bit. I'm traveling a little bit less, so I might have more value in like the new Hyatt card that gives you some credit towards elite status for your spending, because I, you know, I might not be hitting those numbers of hotel nights organically anymore. So, you know, but I still have enough nights in hotels to where I get value out of the elite status. And I think that that's something where sometimes people have a bit of a conflict because they hear, oh my gosh, I need these benefits of this elite status, so I need this card that gets me the elite status. But if you look at, you know, the opportunity cost of what you could be earning on a different card that's maybe just going to get you more points and you can redeem those points for a better room or a better experience, you know, it sort of depends on the number of nights you have per year in hotels, I think, is the bottom line up front.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think a lot of us are creatures of habit. Inertia is a tough beast to overcome at times. And so we go with the card that we have. Although I will admit, when you talk about SPG cards, that SPG credit card that hung in my wallet for 10 or 15 years, I applied for a new card to fill its spot. And I took it out of my wallet for the time being. And I set it on my desk. And that sort of, even though my desk is a bit of a war zone, that was sort of the hint that, okay, I either need to call and cancel this, or I need to, you know, pick some other course of action. But it's definitely out of my wallet at this point. And, you know, I'm not sure what I'll ultimately replace it with, but when we think about the different categories that you and I talk through, it, you know, certainly some things have changed. I used to use that card, the SPG Amex, for unbonused spend, to earn star points. And so when I think about cards I'm earning for cards I'm holding right now to earn points, I don't really have a good hotel card for that right now. You know, where's your head on cards that are good for earning points if that's the ultimate goal?
So I think it depends. You know, one of the easiest options right now, I know that you're a Hyatt fan as well, but given that there's so many ways and so many different cards that help you earn ultimate rewards points, I think that that's one of the easiest pathways. And because you can redeem just a few more points to get a better room with a Hyatt property. So even if you don't have elite status, you can still redeem additional points. It's, you know, sometimes 50% more, sometimes less, depending on whether you're just upgrading to like a club level or a suite. But that could be a really good option for people who don't have, you know, that elite status, but they want like the lounge access. So just in terms of an earnings rate, like that could be really easy, especially if you're doing like your 5x points on office supplies, or even just like the 1.5% on everyday spend with the unlimited cards. You know, that's a really solid option.
Yeah, I agree. And I do carry the World of Hyatt credit card. And yet I find the only time I'm putting spending on it right now is to chalk up some elite night credits on it before the end of the year. And I think once I'm done with that, I will move that spending back to my some form of ultimate rewards cards, almost certainly the Chase Inc. Cards. You know, if you're thinking about the free night vertical, if you will, I guess I should have done a deeper dive in this, but I haven't done a deep dive into the value behind the new Marriott SPG cards in terms of what we're paying for annual fees versus what we can get for free nights. Is that one of the areas where you're thinking folks can find value in free nights, or are there other areas where you would mine for gold there?
Yeah, no, it is. And I think it's actually a good point to make. And I think for you and I, it requires a little bit of separating from, you know, our reality and our everyday. And an example I've used for years is the IHG card, which is a great card. You know, it's got a really reasonable annual fee, and you get that free night certificate every year. And you are pretty much always going to be able to get more value out of that free night certificate than you'd get out of the annual fee.
Yeah, it's a pretty low annual fee, right? It's like $50, $60, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. And, you know, but I would say if you're not a business traveler, because my situation is that IHG card is worth, like that free night is worth roughly $0 to me.
Right.
Because I'm never going to use it.
Right.
But, you know, for like my mom, it's fabulous because she always ends up using it somewhere, like some unexpected trip or a last minute family thing or whatever, because she's not spending, you know, the 150 nights in hotels otherwise, where she's earning points off of her spend and her hotel stays and things like that. So there are about, you know, if you include the IHG and the Marriott cards, there are over a dozen cards out there right now, hotel credit cards, that give you a free night every year for having and keeping the card and holding it.
Right.
And paying the annual fee. And so if you look at like the SPG and Marriott cards, you know, those, the non-premium cards, right? The $95 annual fee cards. I think that most of us are going to find ourselves in a situation where we would be paying at least $95 for a hotel every year.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I don't feel people should cancel their SPG or Marriott cards if you feel like you're still going to be able to use those nights. And again, like, if, you know, if you're somebody who maybe you think that you're going to have 10 or 15 hotel nights in a year, you know, that's a good trade-off. You know, you can pick up a few of these cards, just enough to supplement, you know, you can use, so you're using points for some longer stays, but that gives you an option to stay at maybe a better hotel or a hotel that would otherwise be really expensive. And you're using that, you know, that free night cert.
Yeah. And that's why the SPG Amex is still sitting on my desk, because I haven't really done the research to see, you know, if that's the best value for me keeping it. Cause I do have the personal and the business version of that card. And I used the business one pretty hard for business expenses. I did apply for the luxury card because I wanted the sign-up bonus. I also figure, just given the amount of business travel I have, knowing that I can offset 300 of the $450 annual fee with hotel stays, well, I mean, that's a shoe-in for me. So now I've got a $150 fee card, and I've saved, you know, $300 of that fee for the business. But I still haven't figured out how all those are going to come together, because ultimately, as you said earlier, you alluded to it about how points are better than free nights. I frequently find myself getting behind the eight ball on planning and forgetting to redeem a free night as opposed to just using points to book something or booking a cheap rate. And then it's like, oh gosh, now how do I get, like, I end up using up the free night, but I don't get the best value I could get because I forgot to use it for that super awesome, you know, most valuable booking.
Right. Well, and with the SPG cards, I think, and the Marriott card, you know, so all of those SPG Marriott cards with the, you know, $95 fee, you know, they're going to be easier to use this year because of how the categories are working and hotels are in categories and things like that.
Yeah.
They won't be horrible next year. But I think, you know, given that those free nights count towards your elite status still, you know, you don't have to get an amazing value. It's just when you're getting ready for a stay at, you know, the Sheraton JFK and it's going to be $125, you can use your free night cert and it was, you know, then you're $95 and, like, you know, yes, it's only a $30 savings, but it's still a $30 savings, you know, so it's not like there's a terrible way to use them. You just wouldn't want to use them for a hotel that would be less than $95.
Yeah. And I'd be hard pressed. Exactly.
And for years, I have used almost all of my category 1 through 4 certificates for Hyatt at the Grand Hyatt DFW. Because inevitably there's a weather delay or there's something, and for whatever reason, we'd be overnighting in Dallas. And I have, like, that's been tremendous value for me, right? Because you're just up the escalator and you're in a fabulous hotel. And, you know, when there starts to be weather or operational issues with American, you know, that hotel is quickly $350 a night.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So it's like, yes, I could use it at a more aspirational property, but consistently for, like, the past 5 years, that's where I've used them. And it's been a fabulous value, you know, well worth keeping that card, you know, and paying the annual fee for those types of situations.
Yeah, I agree. I unfortunately, I've ended up a couple of times where, you know, say like a free night ends up at a significantly less aspirational property and generally not a $300 rate. And as you say, you know, even if I got over $100 for it, I'm saving money, quote unquote. But as a deal junkie, I'm looking for, you know, how do I get, you know, $300 or $400 room for that free certificate to use up. And situationally, I just never spend quite enough time trying to fit all those pieces together.
Right. And I think that's a balance too, you know, because there's a difference between the free nights that you get just for having the card and paying the annual fee. And I feel like for the most part, for most people, those pencil out really easily. So for a family who's just thinking, you know, I just need to help cut down on my travel costs, you know, and, you know, that's an easy way.
Yeah.
There's a difference between those and then the cards that offer you free nights after spending a certain amount, like the Hilton cards, for example.
Right.
They offer, you know, a free weekend night after you spend, you know, $15,000 on purchases in the card in the calendar year for, you know, the base for the Ascend and the business card. And then, you know, the Aspire and the more expensive cards have a little bit more lucrative of a situation as far as that goes. So, and then it becomes a situation of thinking about it. Like, does it really make sense to spend $15,000 on that card in order to get the weekend night? And, like, those you definitely have to maximize. You can't use it at a hotel that's just $95, right? Those have to be the ones where you're using it. You have to really think about those. And
right.
For some people, they do an amazing job of maximizing those because they can think ahead. They can think about the hotels that they want to use it at. They can think about their travel plans for the year. You know, it's not necessarily a great option for people like you and I who get so caught up in the other travel that they can't plan those really aspirational redemptions.
Yeah. And I think the bottom line point there is, you know, it's not necessarily what you're actually getting for the certificate once you earn it. It's remembering that getting that certificate, you put $15,000 in spend on, you know, say a specific Hilton credit card where you might have been able to earn other bonuses that were worth more to you otherwise. You forewent those, you know, potentially larger bonuses to earn that free night. So you have to weigh what the opportunity cost was of putting it on that card, not just, you know, what you earned for the free night.
Right. And that's something that I struggle with because in theory, it sounds really nice. I'm like, oh, I'd love to have that. I could get a lot of value out of that.
Yeah.
But I also know myself and my situation well enough so that I'm not going to get that kind of outsized value from that spending. And that, you know, if there's $15,000 to be spent, I am better off probably spending them on something that gets me just straight points because I need that flexibility.
Yes. Yeah.
Rather than getting locked into a certificate. But other people do really, really well with those certificates because they plan ahead. You know, they know that they're going somewhere over school breaks. You know, they have a destination in mind. And so that would be my sort of advice for people, which is always my advice anytime anyone asks me anything, is to think about your travel goals and your situation and how this specifically can apply to you. Like, things are not good deals in isolation in this space.
I agree. And it's the same. It's the same thing I preach and then fall into the bad habits of, unfortunately. In our third bucket, wrap-up bucket, if you will, where do you think folks should be looking if they're looking to earn elite status? I know for me right now, because I'm a Hyatt homer, that World of Hyatt credit card, the new Hyatt credit card, is valuable to me in being able to earn some stay credit or night credits for the end of the year, so that I can put my paid stays with Starwood to round out status there. But do you see other choices on the horizon, or is that really the best one that you see right now?
Okay, so again, it depends. There are, I think, 24 credit cards that give you hotel elite status in some form or another. And so it depends on that situation. I mean, everything.
Is it really that high? 24?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's a lot out there, but this is why I love having you on, because you really do put things in perspective. There are 24 credit cards that help you earn hotel elite status. I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you got to think there's varying values, but I mean, everything from like the Choice Visa card, which as long as you have the card, they give you gold status, which doesn't really give you a lot. But if you are in a situation where you're staying at Choice Hotels, and some people are in a situation where that's what's there.
Sure.
You know, it's better than nothing. There are five credit cards I can think of off the top of my head that give you Hilton Honors Gold status just for holding the card.
Right.
You know, and that ranges from everywhere from like the Hilton Ascend with the $95 annual fee, or even just the their base card. You have to spend a lot to get hotel status, so I don't really count that. So I guess there's four. The Hilton cards or the Platinum Amex cards also give you gold status, and gold status at Hilton is great. I've, you know, been a gold and a diamond. There's not a huge difference in terms of the benefits that you're getting. You're still getting breakfast for your family when you're traveling on vacation, which is much better than Marriott can do for their even top tier elites. So, you know, that's a good option, you know. And then there's, cards where, depending on how much you're spending on it, you're getting, you know, certain amounts of elite qualifying nights. All the Marriott SPG cards are offering, you know, qualifying nights per year, but they only let you earn one set now. So that makes a difference.
I know. That's a little bit of a bummer. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that's hard. And, you know, then there's like what you're talking about with Hyatt, where you're getting some qualifying nights for having the card plus additional elite nights for every $5,000 that you're spending. So, you know, it just depends. But I think like with Hyatt, it's sort of globalist or bust.
I agree in that. Yeah.
Right. Like there's options to earn elite status at the lower tiers, but it's just not really worthwhile. I mean, Hilton is the only one that has a worthwhile mid-tier status.
No, I agree. And given that, you know, some folks say that they struggle with Hyatt's footprint, I don't personally, but if they struggle with Hyatt's footprint and they're a business traveler, that's where I think the World Hyatt credit card can really fill in a gap. Because if they're getting to, you know, 40 or 50 nights and they're not getting to 55 or 60, depending on whether they're a new globalist or renewing globalist, then, you know, maybe there are better choices for some folks, but you can make an argument that putting a bunch of spending on the Hyatt credit card to get those, you know, incremental stay credits to get to globalist can be a huge outsized value.
Yeah. And again, I think, I think we've talked about this a little bit with airline status. It's the same thing. Like if you're getting almost to top tier status with your natural travel, then, or if you have just a ridiculous amount of spend to where it's like, oh, whatever, I can spend $140,000 on this card to get globalist status, no big deal. I mean, that's, you know, great, whatever. That's certainly an option. But if you're getting close, I think there's definitely an argument for, you know, go ahead and use these credit cards to goose that elite status. It's the people who are only spending, you know, 10 to 15 nights a year.
Yes.
In hotels where I feel like that top tier elite status doesn't make sense, but the Hilton cards are right there, or the Platinum Amex cards that give you the Hilton Gold status,
yeah,
you are right there. And that's, you know, that's going to be the easier pathway for that, for the benefits that people want, right? Where they're wanting like the breakfast at the, you know, nice hotel in Europe that would otherwise be $30 a person, or, you know, in Hawaii, you know, having access to the club lounges and stuff like that just becomes really invaluable.
Yeah, I agree.
Traveling with more than just one person.
I agree. Well, we've definitely got more rabbit holes to go down with hotel credit cards and hotel elite status, and we're definitely going to try and drag Tiffany back on again to go through that with us. She seems to be a somewhat willing participant now on the podcast. Can we have you back again?
Sure.
Awesome. Well, you're not hanging out with me on the podcast or picking plums in your hometown, tell folks where they can find you. True story.
That's funny. Yeah, it's very domestic around here this week. We're harvesting plums and apples and all kinds of stuff. It's fun.
I love it.
You can find me at onemileatatime.com or on Twitter at TEBFunk.
Awesome. Thanks for being on again with us, Tiff.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. We're back to wrap up this week's episode with the final two pennies and two words I rarely use, always and never. I'm just not a big fan of absolutes. As with so many things in life, the right path for you to collect and redeem miles and points really depends on your circumstances. Maybe you like to travel in business class. Maybe you prefer to take more trips in coach. That's not for me to say. But as I was talking with Tiffany for this week's episode, there was one always never that popped into my mind. She and I talked about hotel chains, and there's no doubt this tip applies to hotel loyalty status, but it also applies to airline elite status as well. If you're focusing on elite status, it almost never makes sense to split up your business between two brands to earn lower or mid-tier status with them. It almost always makes sense to combine all that activity if it's enough to reach a higher tier in one program. Tiffany and I discussed World of Hyatt today, where top-tier globalist status is much more valuable than their lower tiers. They're certainly not alone in that structure. Hilton might be the lone exception here, where gold and status are pretty similar. On the airline side, you'll pick up much more in the way of benefits if you're a platinum member on United or platinum plus on American than if you're gold or silver with them. This is especially true if you can reach 1K or executive platinum. Think about that when you're deciding where to book those flights and place those hotel reservations. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. If you have questions that I can help answer, don't forget to send those in so we can answer them on a future episode. You can email us at milestogopodcast@gmail.com, or you can search for us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at milestogopodcast. If you're enjoying the show, take a quick minute and hit that subscribe button for us, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and leave us a comment and a rating. All those things help us reach out to more folks and grow the show, which we love to do. Thanks again for listening. A big thanks to Jen and Tiffany for being on this week. We're already getting ready to put together next week's episode for you. But until then, we've got miles to go.